The Angie's List you know and trust is now Angie, and we're so much more than just a list. We still connect you with top local pros and show you ratings and reviews, but now we also let you compare upfront prices on hundreds of projects and book a service instantly. We can even handle the rest of your project from start to finish. So remember, Angie's List is now Angie, and we're here to get your job done right. Get started at Angie.com. That's A-N-G-I, or download the app today.
Hey, I'm Jamie.
And I'm Justina.
And we're the hosts of Just So You Know, a podcast where we get to the bottom of suspicious stories and outright lies we're being told by companies that profit off of animals.
You think Elon Musk is shady? Wait until you hear our episode about his sinister brain experiments.
First he ruined Twitter, now he's coming for your actual brain.
No.
We've also got one about that time I stormed the runway at New York Fashion Week to protest Coach's leather handbags.
Yeah, I heard they weren't happy about that.
I couldn't tell you. They're not talking to me at the moment.
And we're just getting started. In the coming weeks, we're going to blow the lid off of everything from shady pet dealers to monkeys held hostage by coconut milk companies to the astonishing secret behind the no animals were harmed message you see at the end of movies.
And so much more. We'll hope you join us for this surprisingly fun journey full of strange characters, secretive companies, and a whole world of stuff they really don't want you to know.
Subscribe to Just So You Know wherever you get your podcasts and look for our new episodes every Thursday. Just So You Know is a PETA production.
Fill her up.
You're listening to the Gas Digital Network.
We need to roll back the state. We spy on all of our own citizens.
Our prisons are flooded with nonviolent drug offenders.
If you want to know who America's next enemy is, look at who we're funding right now.
Every single one of these problems are a result of government being way too big.
What's up, everybody? Welcome to a brand new episode of Part of the Problem. Libertarian Tupac here, the most consistent motherfucker you know, and I am joined by my brother-in-arms, my partner in life, Robbie the Fire Bernstein. How are you, sir?
What's going on, Davey Smith? I missed you all week.
I missed you.
Got all
you.
These guests coming through.
I missed you. It was, it's hard. It's hard for me when I, when I don't see you as often as I'm used to. And it's not like the old days. Or if we weren't on a podcast, we would just see each other somewhere, you know, in the city, at the studio, at a club or something like that. Now it's just, you know, me and you. What was it? We were it's so funny because like I whatever, you know, it's we were. It's because we're going to be at Porkfest.
Hell yeah.
Just figured out. Just got that all signed, sealed and delivered. So me and Rob Bernstein will be at Porkfest. What are we going to do there? Live comedy show, live Part of the Problem.
Firstly, there's a ton of cool stuff going on. Gene Epstein's going to be up there. I think Tom Woods is going to be up there.
Whoa. I'm out.
What? No one, why would you be out over Gene Epstein?
No one told me those hacks were going to be up there. That's it. We're walking.
I think there's going to be a lot of Mises activity. You're going to see the takeover. We're going to be there.
It's Mises, Rob.
All right.
For
well,
the love
you know
of
what?
God.
We're the Meacocks, and I'm renaming it. You know, people are going to have to make the adjustment.
Do you call them Rhesus Pisces? It's Rhesus Pieces, like Mises.
All right, fair enough. You know what? I'm dumb. Let's just roll with it. Thursday, I think it's Thursday the 24th. We're going to do a live podcast and stand-up show. And if you get your tickets now, I think it's 1 week. You still get the early bird. It's $30 for the entire festival.
That's incredible.
Can be there for a whole week. So get your tickets now. We're going to be up there all day. I think it's Thursday. We'll confirm it in the show description, but we'll be there hanging out and doing a live podcast and show and just, you know, hanging out, drinking beer. So come out for it. It's going to be fun.
Sounds good. And I will be hosting Freedom Fest this year. Like I was supposed to do last year, but then they got the rug pulled out from underneath them last year. And those guys, if you knew the behind the scenes stuff, they were doing the event last summer. They worked so hard to do everything they could to make sure they pulled it off. Like the team over there behind Freedom Fest, they were working tirelessly. I was getting like CC'd on all the emails and stuff. And every time there'd be a new, you know, some type of new restriction or rule, they would change around the event to make it that way. Like they, you know, they're used to having this like huge event. And then they were like, well, it's limited to only, you know, like 100 people. And so they'd go, okay, well, we got 600 people in this room. So we're going to make six rooms of 100 people. And like they kept organizing. And then at the last minute, the governor of Nevada was like, we're going back to phase two from phase three. So actually you can only have 40 people or whatever the numbers were, you know? And so it just destroyed the whole thing last minute, but they're doing it this year in South Dakota. It's going to be an awesome fucking event. I can't wait to be there. So I'm going to be hosting the whole thing, doing some stand up. I'll do a bunch of podcasting out there and stuff too. So this summer I'm hitting the libertarian festivals in a big way. So try to catch us there if you can. And I'm really looking forward to me and you going and doing Porkfest again. We missed last year, but we were there 2 years ago, back when the world was normal.
It was fun as hell, dude.
It was great. It was absolutely great. I think it'll be a lot of fun again this time. So looking forward to all that shit. Come check us out. And evidently Gene Epstein and Tom Woods will be there because they're just letting anybody in to Porkfest these days. This libertarians, we need better border control. Am I right? It's been the knock on us for quite a long time. So that should be a lot of fun. And I'm sure there's other great people coming to Porkfest as well that I'm not aware of. We just signed.
I think they got a whole big Rothbard village. They got, I'm telling you, I think it's going to be representing our philosophy in a big way. And so come meet the other people who are being a part of this thing. It's fun to actually know that you're not crazy, that there's other individuals that share your philosophy. And then it's also nice to see that it's a community of just kind of good-hearted, nice people.
Yeah. No, absolutely. And I love, one of the things I really love, I loved about Porkfest last time I was there, or last time we were there, was that you go there and it's a real representation of libertarianism, which is very different from, and I think part of this is the reason why there's so many internal battles and so much infighting in libertarianism, is because it really does, it spans culture in a way that other parties and groups don't. So I remember back, and I always thought this was so cool, like maybe this is just my personality type or what appeals to me, but back like in the Ron Paul campaign days, Ron Paul would be giving a speech and you would just have like a guy in a suit and tie next to a guy with a pink mohawk. You know what I mean? Like that, because both of them are there, maybe for completely different reasons, but both of them are there for this, like, yeah, we believe in human liberty. And if you just believe in human liberty and it's actually based in the philosophy, you can do that from a very socially conservative perspective or from a very, you know, socially not conservative perspective. You know, like there can be people who are like, dude, I don't know.
And orgy lovers both want to end the Fed. Yeah.
Well, right. That's a good way to put it. But in many ways, I think that the smart conservatives not only can be conservative about all the economic issues, but can also understand that you are like the government and government interference in the market and in the culture undermines all of the things that conservatives care about. I mean, this is something, by the way, that I've been really trying to hit home for a while. But this is like when conservatives, I was just talking about this on the Monday episode I did solo. But it's like if conservatives don't understand economics, they can never win the culture war. You can never even fight in the culture war if you don't understand economics. I mean, think about it, Rob, like what me and you like kind of know about the nature of government intervention and prices and the Fed and all of this. If some conservative is sitting there and they're going, well, how come we don't have a society where young people are getting married and having families? And it's all because of these damn Hollywood movies, you know? It's like, okay, kind of, but not really. And if you don't understand, if you don't go like, okay, well, look at your average 25-year-old man. How the hell is he going to get married and provide for a wife and his kids? How can he afford a house and healthcare and education and daycare, whatever else is necessary? Not a big advocate of daycare, but regardless, you know, like, well, why can't he afford any of those things? Why are the prices of all of them completely out of his reach? Oh, looks like you better learn what a price
because
is.
We're not at war with the Germans. That's what we need to do in order for the economy to be stimulated and men to feel good about themselves.
Well, that's right. And I always favor war with the Germans in every situation. But you know what I'm saying? Like if you can't be bothered to understand what inflation is or what a price is or why the costs of housing and healthcare and education are skyrocketing, why the dollar is so valueless, why this kid has 100 G's in student loan debt and is working at Starbucks, you know, if you're not going to address any of that shit, then you're not, you know, you're not going to even be fighting. And if you don't understand the effect that interest rates have on the economy, then you're not even going to understand why the fucking left is going commie when, you know what I mean, that the economy is being tanked and the big bankers are being bailed out and all this shit. So it's like you're not even in the fight if you don't have this economic component. And, you know, like that's a real problem. That's a real problem if you don't like the direction the culture is going in, to not understand what's actually happening and how to actually, you know, deal with it. But for those conservatives who do understand that, they understand that they're like, oh yeah, well, like nothing's done more to undermine the family unit and to undermine communities and churches and all of these things than government intervention. This is what's, you know, like what's done more to undermine communities, churches, and families than the welfare state, you know? So the conservatives have a real reason to be there, you know, at a libertarian event. And then also the guy with the pink mohawk, who's like, I just want to be free to live my alternative lifestyle. He also has a reason to be there. And so there, you know, it's cool. And that's what you get at Porkfest. Like you'd get there and you'd see like, you know, remember there was like a pool and a swing and all this shit. And I remember being like, oh, I should bring the wife and kid next time we go here. There's like all these families around. And then there's some guy walking around with like an AR-15, but very responsibly, you know, and like carrying it in the proper way and all this shit. It's not like a weird thing. It's just open carrying. And that's cool. And then there's like the guys with the pink mohawks and face tattoos and shit. But they're all like, but because we're all together in, you know, trying to promote this philosophy, everyone's kind of getting along and friendly. And there's just something really cool about that. I also think that's why there's so much libertarian infighting, because typically human beings are in a way, we're not really made to group together around a philosophy. We're made to group together around tribal cultures. And, you know, like libertarians should know this better than anyone. Like if you look at the, you know, the Democrats and the Republicans, really their underlying philosophies aren't that much different. Their political, you know, like stances aren't really that much different. So what's the big difference? It's really the culture. You know, that's really why one side is with them and the other side's with them. It's like in-group, out-group stuff. And so we deal with the fact that we have all of these, you know, different cultural norms and preferences within the movement. And then like, you know, there's some people who it's a tricky thing to almost navigate, but like if you know, some libertarians will I don't know, just kind of say some like lefty cultural type shit. And if you even question it, then they throw you in this out-group box. Oh, you, what do you mean? Like, you don't think trans rights are the most important issue? And then, well, then you must be over in this box. And then to the people in the other box, they're like, what are you talking about, trans right? That puts you in this box. And you know what I mean? It's like, so anyway, that's kind of the nature. But at these events on Twitter, it leads to a whole bunch of like, fuck yous, but at these events it ends up being like everyone getting along and having fun, and it's really beautiful. So anyway,
you know, it's by the way, on your point of if you don't think trans issues is the most important thing, anytime they take anything, they say it's the most important thing, and you go, well, great, then let's discuss it because I want to make sure I have a full understanding of it. Then they're like, no, you're not allowed to ask questions.
Yeah,
like, well, you got to take the gospel the way we put it forward.
Yes. That's something that I'm never a big fan of.
What you were saying, which I thought was interesting with the, I guess the conservatives having to understand that without the economic component, you're never going to kind of lose the cultural battle. It'd be interesting to see the analysis of how much government funding goes into basically undermining the cultural values of like a conservative Christian. Because I mean, there's a lot of them off the top of my head, probably. I mean, for sure, the easiest one would be abortions and all the funding that goes into that.
Sure.
You might be able to expand that even to like birth control. But then you could probably, if you start looking at all the academics and, you know, certain things that are taught at colleges, there's probably just so much.
Hold on. Your volume just cut out.
Press, but I was making the most brilliant point, and so I'm just happy that everyone got that.
This is what happens.
I secure cancer.
5 years I've had Robbie on the podcast. First time he's finally making an interesting point, his mic cuts out. All right. So anyway, pick up where.
And that's how we get a libertarian elected.
What? Wait, what? I missed the good part. I missed the good part again. All right. So go ahead.
No, I think that was the total of what I was going to say.
Well, try to pick back up in the middle so Tanner can maybe edit this together. Or you could keep in that part. It was kind of funny.
No, I was just saying it'd be interesting to see how much, very specifically, monetary policy is going into things that Christians would object to, or funding things that Christians would specifically object to.
Well, here's the thing, right? That I was trying to. So I was going off on this whole thing about how the right wing, in many ways, is responsible for the state that we're at in today's culture on Monday's episode. And I basically went off on this whole thing that I'm kind of trying to work out now. This argument I'm trying to put forward, that basically the last time the right wingers had the culture, that they blew it on this idiot George W. Bush and his awful wars, and that this destroyed the right wing credibility, and they've really never recovered from this. That Donald Trump didn't destroy the Republican Party, that George W. Bush destroyed the Republican Party, and then because the left took over everything, the right wingers turned to Trump because they just wanted someone who would fight back against them. And you know, I did a whole episode on this, but one of the things that I was really trying to drive home is that, and we've talked about this for years, right, where there will be right wingers like. Even like the Ted Cruz types who will say, yeah, you know, they're kind of like, yeah, we should abolish the IRS and we shouldn't have this big government and all of this, but they want the empire. And if you want the empire, then obviously you're going to have the IRS. I mean, it doesn't have to be called the IRS. You could call it something else. You could call it the fucking, you know, dirty fucking thieves organization or whatever you want to, but it's, you have to have something that's going to extort money from the American people. And that even that's never going to be enough. You're never going to be able to tax the American people enough to maintain this empire. So you're going to have to borrow money. And then of course, you're also going to have to print money because that's, the borrowing is never enough anyway. And people expect the money returned to them when they borrow it. And so you need this monetary policy. And if you're not going to have sound money of some sort or another, what you're going to have is fiat currency. This is, and what you have when you have fiat currency and artificially low interest rates is these bubbles get created. And I was talking about how interest rates were, you know, were held low in the early 2000s to finance the wars. And what ended up happening when they held interest rates so low? Well, a lot of people started buying houses because it was a really good opportunity to buy housing, to buy houses. And then there's and every time there's this artificial bubble, you get the fake, you get the fake boom, and then you get the very real bust. And this leads to lefties going more and more radical and becoming more and more socialist. And then, of course, they were bought off by the corporate plot of wokeism and all this shit. But if you don't, you know, understand the role that monetary policy plays in all of this, you're going to be in a very tough spot. I mean, just by its by the very nature of it, artificially low interest rates are going to punish families who save, people on fixed incomes, retired people, and they're going to reward speculators. Now, does that sound like a very conservative culture to you? Probably not, yeah. Right?
And speaking of that, it also, I guess, lowers people's time preference. Like, yeah. Sometimes I get this wrong. That would mean people's time preference, yes. Where they just want to consume everything now, versus if there was better savings, people would be more incentivized to save, and then you end up with something that's closer to religious values because it's not just consumerism and consumption, yeah. And you know, so immediate gratification.
For anybody not following, time preference is just another way of talking about people's tendency for deferred gratification. So in you know, putting off your impulsive desire to spend now. And if you really think about it, that idea of deferring gratification is right at the heart of all economic activity, right? So even just getting up and going to work in the morning, you're essentially like, for most people, you're like, well, I'd rather just sleep in and eat fucking potato chips all day, but I will get up and go to work because I want this paycheck in 2 weeks. And I know that my life will be better in the future if I make it a little bit worse right now. And again, if you really think about it, this is pretty much everything productive. That's what you're doing. You're sacrificing the immediate for more in the long term. And of course, this is in many ways the essence of civilization, in many ways the essence of adulthood, right? Like if you ask a child if they want, you know, a candy bar right now or 10 candy bars in a week, It's very rare that a child will have the discipline to say, no, I'll take the 10 candy bars in a week. They're almost always going to grab the one right now. That's the, you know, because they have a very high time preference. And the more, you know, you know, the older you get, if you were to ask a husband and a father, or really just an adult, would you like $1,000 now or $10,000, you know, next week? It'd be very easy to go, oh, I will take that $10,000 next week, because you're smart enough to think through that this is going to add, even though $1,000 right now will make me happy, $10,000 next week will make me much more happy. So I can, you know, so that's basically the idea of it. And if you think about what civilization is, what, you know, why are we not in a hunter-gatherer, you know, living in a cave or something like that? Why are we here in this modern world? It's because, well, a whole bunch of people have worked to make the future better and better and better and better and more work and more work and more work. And to Rob's point, monetary policy, right, it has a role in this. And that if you bring interest rates all the way down, it incentivizes a lot of people to borrow immediately. Because this is right. Whereas if rates are higher, it incentivizes a lot of people to save for the future. Because if you put money away, you're going to get a lot more money in the future, right? So that's like a big part. And time preference is very related to whether you have maybe conservative isn't even exactly the way to put it, but whether you have a culture that's thinking about the future and future generations. And I think a lot of the reason why people are so disgusted by the current state of the culture is because it does seem to be, it, you know, the opposite of planning for the future and caring about the next generation and looking toward, you know, what's next is like decadence and self-absorption and you know, all of the stuff that we see all around us. And so I think that there's, you know, again, if you don't, it's, I'm not saying it's the entire component. And there are certainly libertarians who don't understand the more social, more cultural component. And I, you know, I try to push back on them as well. But then there's also a lot of social conservatives who just don't understand the economic component to all of it. And they're, in many ways, I think they're fighting, they're bringing a knife to a gunfight, if that makes sense. So anyway, come to Porkfest. Hey guys, let's take a quick second. I want to thank our sponsor for today's show, which is Sheath Underwear. Sheath makes the most comfortable boxer briefs I've ever worn in my life. I'm not messing with you guys here. These are the best underwear you will ever own, the most comfortable pair of boxer briefs you will ever put on your body. I do not wear any other underwear at this point. It's all Sheath underwear. Here's what makes Sheath unique. Their stretchy fabric is made out of a moisture wicking technology. They feel super soft, keep everything cool, comfortable, right in place. It's the perfect underwear for working out or being in a hot environment. And the most unique thing about Sheath underwear is they have these dual pouches that are designed to keep your man parts separated. They keep everything right where it's supposed to be. Nothing's sticking together. I was a little skeptical about this at first, I'll be honest, but it's a game changer. It's incredible. You have to get one pair of Sheath underwear. I'm telling you, this is going to be your new underwear. It's all you're going to want to wear. And by the way, if you're not into the whole dual pouch thing, you don't have to use it. You can just wear them like regular underwear and they'll just be the most crazy comfortable pair of boxer briefs you've ever put on your body. With Sheath underwear, there's no more chafing, no more sweating, just comfort and support. Plus, the owner is a huge fan of the show, so please go support them because they support us for being one of our sponsors. Supporting our sponsors is very important, people. They're what keep this show going. So go to sheathunderwear.com, get the most comfortable pair of underwear you will ever own. And if you use the promo code PROBLEM20, you'll get 20% off your order. That's sheathunderwear.com. The promo code is PROBLEM20 for 20% off your order. All right. But yeah, that's my new thing. Like wokeism is a corporate plot. That was like one of my big ones. And right wingers blew the 20th century by supporting George H.W. Bush's idiot son. That's my other new one that I'm trying to push real hard. Along with the fact that, you know, Trump was a disaster. That's the other thing that I'm trying to convince right wingers of, which is not the easiest battle to fight because, man, whew, a lot of them really, really believe in Donald Trump.
I mean, isn't it? It's so funny that you could still believe in Donald Trump. Where
I mean, at every, it's going to be the greatest thing you've ever, okay, it'll be, we'll make it better. It didn't, okay, we're going to win this. Okay, the election's going to get overturned. Like, not one thing that he said ever came true in any capacity.
Did you listen to his CPAC speech?
Oh, the first like 15 minutes and I had enough of it. But yeah,
it's almost like it would kind of all make sense if the guy hadn't just been president for 4 years. Is that, you know what I mean? Like, you'd kind of be like, oh, look, this guy's got a plan, you know, like, but if you know anything about it, you're like, dude, but you were just in, we got to end these wars and we got to take on big tech. And you're like, but what? Like, you. Oh man, if only you had the ear of the commander in chief for the last 4 years, maybe you could have convinced him to do all this shit, you know? So it's like, okay, so what's your big plan here? Elect this guy again? I mean, that's like the crazy thing where, you know, he's even like, you know, hinting at running again in 2024. And like, to me, this just doesn't seem practical, let alone desirable. You know, I
mean, Biden's half dead and somehow they got him reading a teleprompter. So
that is true. But the Donald Trump, you know, even, you know, if you put aside the fact that he's like his age and that he'd be the same age as Biden, which is just so obviously way too old. Like, my God, that is just too old to be president. It's like, Biden, what do you see every time you see Biden? He's an 80-year-old. That's what you see. He's, well, I don't know. What is he, 79 or so? But, he, you know, basically. It's like, any looks and acts like an 80-year-old who maybe shouldn't be in this position.
Biden's age is just a month to death. I don't know the exact number.
Like, you go, Biden's age, I don't know. But if you were reading the story of Joe Biden's life and you're feeling the pages, there's only a few pages left. You're like, oh, I can bang this out before I need it. You're like, oh, I kind of have to go to the bathroom. Let me see, how much do I have left? No, I can finish this before I go to the bathroom. But forget all of the, you know, the fact that Donald Trump will be old and fat and, you know, Trump, and the fact that probably the country is not going to want to go back to just the craziness of the Trump, you know, presidency, whether that's his fault or not, some of it not his fault. But, you know, like, if you just be like, I don't know, there's a lot of people out there who just have not just Trump fatigue, but response to Trump fatigue. You know what I mean? Like, I just don't want to see the media going crazy and everyone going crazy and ever. But what is it about the Trump presidency that appeals to a right winger? Like, all we got to do is recreate that. What? I mean, okay, you pissed off some liberals, but what did you really do? Like, did the culture swing back to the right because Donald Trump was in there, or did it just get wildly more left? You know, like, did this, all it did was make the left even more hard left and lose their minds even more. All it did was, you know, provide a great fundraiser for CNN and the Southern Poverty Law Center and the best, you know, like, it really kind of glued the left wingers together in a way. And for what, like, benefit did you really get? And the thing that you'll get is it's the same thing that the progressives would say under Obama, you know, which I sometimes would, in the right moment, I'd be able to really convince progressives. I remember one example where I was on a Fox News with this hardcore, like, lefty woman who was like a Bernie Sanders supporter. And she's like a democratic socialist, actually, like a hard, you know, a fairly hard lefty. And it was during Sanders' campaign where I was somewhat sympathetic to Bernie Sanders, you know, like, not obviously never a Sanders supporter. And he's, you know, got a million problems, which we've talked about many times, but, you know, him versus Joe Biden, I had to admit that he was, you know, making a better argument and in many ways representing what his people wanted a lot more. But anyway, so I remember talking to her, and in that moment, I was able to convince her that Obama was a disaster, you know, because I'm sitting there, and it's when it's her guy, Bernie Sanders, against Obama's guy, his VP, Joe Biden, it's a lot easier to convince her, like, yeah, I mean, really what Biden represents is a return to the Obama administration. And by what progressive metric was Obama a success? I mean, did income inequality get better? Did the wealth gap shrink? Were banker profits reduced? Was there one day when he wasn't at war? Are we, is mass incarceration gone down? You know, like all these things. And she was like, you know, you're absolutely right. And I said, his signature, healthcare is, I mean, how successful can you really claim his healthcare overhaul is if the next Democratic nominee has to run on his signature issue being a healthcare overhaul? Well, then obviously your healthcare overhaul really wasn't that good, right? And she was like completely agreeing with me because it was just in the moment where it was, you know, it's like that tribal thing. This wasn't I wasn't robbing her of her identity, which at the moment was being a Bernie Sanders supporter opposing Barack Obama's vice president. But if you were a Trump supporter, you know, the day after Trump beat Hillary Clinton and she's identifying as an anti-Trump person and you start going, hey, what did Obama even accomplish? It was nothing. She'll rattle off a list, I'm sure, because this is what they all do. They all have this, like, anytime you're like, yeah, this president sucked, they're like, well, he passed the this We Care About the Children Act and he reduced this and he did this and he did, you know, they have like their fucking whole list of things that they did. And that's what a lot of these Republicans are doing for Donald Trump. You know, it's just like this kind of like renegotiated trade deals and no new wars and this and that and that. And then you just kind of can take each one apart one by one. And you're like, yeah, but tell me about that. You know, I it was Scott Horton. One of the times he was on the show, I think it was when we were doing we did the 3-part Trump legacy one, but it may have been the more recent ones. I don't remember. But where he was talking about going through the peace deals, you know, they talk about Donald Trump got all these record peace deals. And then he's like, yeah, but who were the peace deals with?
Like between people that get along. They're the easiest to make peace between.
Yeah, it's all like these things where it's like, oh, okay, you made peace with countries that we were never threatening to go to war with. Like, what? How is that some huge accomplishment?
The great Canadian-American partnership.
And I got to say, a peace deal with Iran is a lot more impressive than a peace deal with Jordan. You know what I mean? Because it's like there was never really a threat of war there. So that's, you know, there's a whole lot of these like little things that you can, if you want to do mental gymnastics and try to convince yourself that this president did a good job, fine. But if you zoom out and look at any of the big issues that right wingers claim to care about, then no, Trump was a fucking disaster, just a disaster. And, you know, I was talking about this the other day where I did the Electric Liberty Land show on the Lions of Liberty podcast with Eric Brakey, and Dave Rubin was on there. Thanks to Brian for hosting us. That was a lot of fun. But I was just saying, like, by what, you know, they would say things like, they'd be like, well, all the neocons are in Joe Biden's administration. And you're like, okay, fair enough. Let's go back to John Bolton as national security advisor and Mike Pompeo as the secretary of state and Gina Haspel is the CIA director. Yeah, Donald Trump, you know, oh my God, I'm so scared of Joe Biden's administration, which by the way, I am. But you're like, okay, but so what did he offer? It's not like he was fucking any type of, you know, change from this. All those guys I just named, they easily could have been Mitt Romney's cabinet. In fact, I bet they would have been. If Mitt Romney had won, I bet they all would have had cabinet positions, at least two out of the three. So, you know, and then the culture stuff that the right wingers claim to care about so much. Well, clearly electing Donald Trump didn't do anything for that. It just got worse. So anyway, I'm off on a tangent here, but these are the new things that I'm trying to push. These are my focuses. Hey, so I want to ask you this, changing gears a little bit. Dude, do you know anything or give a shit at all about the whole QAnon thing? Me neither. Me neither. I don't care. I don't even understand it. I don't understand why it's getting so much coverage. But anyway, go ahead.
No, to me, it kind of falls into the UFO type category where it's like, it could be, but I'm more interested in the financial. That's just what interests me a little bit more. And I'm more interested in debt and what I can see as being like the clear wrongs of government. I think what the QAnon thing that I think has some truth in it is that sadly there actually is child sex trafficking that exists in the world. It's a really evil thing that exists in the world. And it's something that we can all agree on. Hey, let's have less of that. And I don't think that there's enough general coverage of it or outrage. And yes. So that then leaves room. And now we're already going into me talking out of my ass, but that leaves the opening for your conspiracy theory people to go, how come this isn't more widely talked about or how come we're not putting more resources into cleaning up this thing that we all take issues with? And then I think that that expands to, well, it's because there's evil people in government that are actually involved in this. And then I think it can go all the way, go down the rabbit hole of they're actually demon people that are fueled by these bad energies.
Right.
So I think that's, but I've never been on the website. I've never looked into it. And then on the other side, still talking out of my ass here, the reason why the left is so upset about it is because to them, it's this cultish rabbit hole of misinformation. And it's the example of why when we don't police the information that's available, people's minds get corrupted, their lives get ruined, people's lives have become ruined because they've looked into this QAnon thing or they got involved in, you know. So yeah. That's where it becomes interesting, is that it's a tool of the left to go, this is why we need to police information. People are being radicalized by something that's not true. And then you got some people who go deep down the rabbit hole. And then you got some other people who are just like, I really think we got to look into this child sex trafficking thing because it seems like there's more of it than should exist in the world.
Yeah. Okay. So I pretty much agree with all of that, that I think that it serves a really useful purpose for people who would want to control the flow of information, protect the image of the ruling elite, all of that shit, not just leftists, but really like elitists, you know, or people, you know, who want to protect the ruling class. My thought on the Q thing, right, is basically this. I don't know that much about it. I will plead ignorance here. I don't see it. People talk about it all the time. I really don't see the people. Now, maybe they've been booted off the internet. Maybe they just don't happen to be in any of the circles of the shit I follow. It's not really the stuff that I'm interested in. So I don't really know that much about it. But the amount of coverage it gets compared to me seeing none of it, is that right away just raises some question marks. Like, how are you really making this to be a much bigger thing than it is? Because I don't know who, you know, it's like whenever there are these people who, whatever the school of thought is, that they're like, this is a really big problem. Or this, I'm always like, well, who's their leader? Or who's one of the leaders? Who's the guy? Who's the guy with like a big following who's making the case for them? And if they're like no one, then I'm like, okay, well, show me some of them, because I just don't see that much of it. But from what I understand, it's a conspiracy theory that there's like rampant pedophilia and sex trafficking amongst very powerful elite people, and that somebody is about to expose this and this whole system's going to be brought down. And evidently there was a view that Donald Trump was going to be installed as the president, that this is all part of the plan. I remember people saying that again, I'm never at, just to be clear about this, I'm never actually hearing from the person who believes this. I'm always hearing from someone telling me that there are people who believe this, and most of the time mocking them. So I don't even know.
What this sounds like it would make really for believe. The world's greatest comic book. Like, this is what
does,
Trump should
it
do.
Does sound awesome.
Like, you know, like how they got the Marvel Cinematic Universe, Trump Cinematic Universe, where he's actually seeing demons and other. Yeah.
A lot of the people who go way too far overboard with conspiracy theories, I think that's a big part of it. And I remember being like, maybe, I don't know, like 20 when I saw Loose Change for the first time, which was the video about how 9/11 was all fake.
I never actually saw it, but
it was probably an inside job. I don't know if they actually claimed it was an inside job or not, but they were, you know, it was like kids in a dorm room, I think, who made this movie, and they took some liberties with physics, you know, like they were like, there were like a whole bunch of things that in the movie, like when you were watching it at 20, you were like, whoa, they just blew this thing wide open. But then like when someone would explain what was really happening, you were like, oh, all right, maybe not. So like there'd be these things where they were like, look at this video of the 9/11 tower collapsing. And then they'd be like, there were bombs in the, you know, like in the foundation, and look, and then you see like video of like poof, 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 like explosions going off down on the first floor. And you're like, oh my God, you know, you're 20 and drunk or stoned or whatever. And you're like, ah, they did it. They blew up the World Trade Center. And then there'd be like some physicist who made a video who's like, well, when the tower starts collapsing, it pushes air down and the air is going to burst out of the windows. And so that's why you see this and you go,
that scientist is gay, dude.
Yeah, right. You just go, whatever, you queer scientist with your dumb physics, I guess. But then even part of you, you'd be like, all right, I guess that makes sense, I guess. So there, you know, it's, but you, even at the time, I was aware that part of what I was getting drawn into was that this is like such a cool movie. You know, like if this is true, you're almost like, whoa, there's this amazing story and it's real and I know about it. And so, like, people who go like way overboard with the conspiracy shit, a lot of times they get sucked into that type of mentality. But again, I remember hearing other people making fun of how there are some people out there who believe that when Trump got COVID and went to a Walter Reed Hospital, that it was actually because the mass arrests were coming and he needed to be out in the secure location. When they round up the pedophiles, he'll be there and then he'll emerge. He never really had COVID. Listen, again, I never heard anyone actually expressing these views. I just heard a lot of other people saying, oh, there's actually people who believe this. I don't know. I don't know whether it's true or not. I don't know how big it is.
I'm pretty sure I remember that incident, and it didn't turn out to be mass arrest of pedophiles, and Trump had
none of them. Now, that being said, and I'm not, this is not an original point to me. I heard someone on Twitter said this was one of my favorite tweets ever, but they said that that Pizzagate, which I guess was kind of the beginning of all of this stuff, that Pizzagate aged better than Russiagate. And I thought was so funny and such a great point to make, that basically just Jeffrey Epstein getting arrested meant there was more truth to Pizzagate than there ever was to Russiagate. They never got one, you know, and again, just like I was saying, people can defend Trump or defend Obama. There are actually people out there who will defend the Russiagate nonsense, and they'll be like, well, these people went to jail or this or that. And we've covered all this. But the truth is, no one ever even so much as got charged with anything having to do with colluding with the Russians to interfere in the 2016 election. None of that shit. That shit was all bullshit. But Jeffrey Epstein was actually running like a sex trafficking ring with minors and rubbing elbows with all of these very powerful people. So as crazy as the Pizzagate shit may have seemed in 2016, well, there's something there. And it's hard to not say, like, when you see someone like Hillary Clinton, whose like husband is, you know, a sexual predator, and he's hanging out with her mutual friend of his, Jeffrey Epstein, who's a sexual predator. And then you find out that her best friend's husband, Anthony Weiner, is also a sexual predator. And you're like, I'll tell you, that's a lot. For a normal person, that's a lot. I mean, I guess it could just be a coincidence, but most normal people go like, hey, if your husband's a sexual predator and your good friend's a sexual predator and your best friend's husband's also a sexual predator, that's a bit weird. Most of us don't have that experience.
And the Epstein thing was double cover up. First, they tried to cover it up by basically, you know, he wasn't really charged. Later, that kind of came out. And then the FBI was like, oh, if we lost this Freedom of Information Act, we're going to do an immediate investigation. And then all of a sudden, he's in trouble. He dies in jail mysteriously. The FBI goes into his apartment and recovers some safe that we never hear about again. There's a lot of tie-ins with a massive, we still don't know how he has his money. There seems to be tie-in with money. The Israeli government, the Wexners.
He had a Saudi passport with his picture and someone else's name. A lot of weird shit, weird financial connections. It was a guy who like made partner at Bear Stearns after being there for 2 years or something like that. I can't even remember the details, but yeah, a lot of really, really weird stuff that was going on.
And they're, despite the interest of the country in going, hey, I'd like to know what's going on here, and I'd like to make sure that my government's not doing evil shit with kids, they did not do that. They did not do the PR campaign or the investigations or any of that.
And
they,
on top of that, we have that ABC reporter who is straight up like, hey, I was going to break this story, but ABC squashed it. So there's, you know, there's, like, I don't know exactly all the details of what the truth is, but there's certainly something there. And given that, and given the secrecy around it, you can understand where some people jump to some conclusions about it, right? So that more or less is how I've kind of felt about the QAnon thing, never really looked into it. And I more or less feel about them the way I felt about 9/11 truthers. I think some of them go too far. I think there is something there, like it. I don't trust the government's official story, and I think there's a lot of other shady shit that went on there, and I certainly believe that the Saudi government had more involvement than initially was, explained, and that a lot of high up business interests in Saudi Arabia and America do business together, and the American government and the Saudi government do business together, and they certainly didn't want to reveal all of this stuff. But when people would be like, you know, Dick Cheney or Bush did 9/11, you know, that whole thing, I always go like, yeah, okay, I've never been convinced of that, and I don't really see evidence to support it, but I'd kind of rather someone believe that than believe that all of these wars are justified. If that makes sense, it's more useful to me, and you're more likely to be right if you think of the government as blood-soaked monsters who would do that to their own people, than if you think of them as good people who just want to spread democracy to Iran. You know what I mean? Or Iraq or Syria or Libya or Yemen or what, you know, Somalia or whatever other country they're going after. So I'd rather, you know, like I almost think like, hey, if you like my outlook on things is that I believe, and I think I could conclusively prove, like in a court of law, I think I like beyond a reasonable doubt could prove that the government is made up of blood-soaked monsters who rob and lie to the American people and slaughter, you know, innocent women and children in third world countries. And if that's the case, if I'm right, which I am, I'd much rather people believe the worst about those people than the best about those people. Now, the flip side to that is that if people are out there putting forth wild conspiracies about these people that are completely unfounded and can't be backed up, then that can also undermine the cause of people who are trying to convince you that they really are that corrupt and fucked up. And then they go, oh, what are you, one of these Alex Jones types? And so it's a double-edged sword. But in general, I just feel like, whatever. There's more good than bad to people believing the worst about their own government. And so, you know, whatever. But really, I just don't care, because who cares? Who cares? Who cares what some powerless people believe? I mean, why would you ever spend energy or effort concerning yourself about what someone who has no power believes? It just doesn't really matter that much to me. In the same way that, like, you know, Rob, you know, you've seen, I'm sure, because you lived in New York City for a long time, you've seen like the Black Israelite guys who will say that they're the real Jews, and you, Rob Bernstein, you're not a Jew, they're really the Jews.
They can have it.
Right. You're like, you're the white devil and blah 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 and this and that, and they've got all these blah, but you walk by them and kind of giggle, and then you go home, right? Because, like, now if you were to come to me one day, me and you were hanging out at a comedy club, this is back when the world existed and me and you were comedians, it back then, right, when stand-up was still a thing, me and you were out at a comedy club one night, and you came up to me and you go, dude, I'm just fucking furious because I walked by this Black Israelite and he said he's the real Jew and he's not the real Jew. And I was, you know, he said this about history and it's not actually true. And I know what is really true. And this is what's going on here. What should my response to you be? Should it be like, you're right, you should be outraged about this? Or would I go, dude, let me buy you a drink. What the fuck are we talking about here? Who cares? They have no fucking power. And that's what really matters, right? Who has power here? And they have no power over you. So who cares? Like, if you didn't like what they said or like what they believe or something like this, right? It doesn't matter. It's inconsequential. And this is like one of the, you know, there might be somebody, like there might be some homeless guy who, if he had the power that Adolf Hitler had, would have killed more people than Adolf Hitler, right? Like, maybe would have gone genocidal sooner than Hitler did. But who cares? He didn't have that power. He's not that guy. And he's just some guy covered in his own piss and shit on the street. So what are we going to be outraged about what he thinks? Like, it doesn't matter. All that matters is what people who have power believe and what they're willing to actually do to other people, right? So it's interesting for me to see all of these very powerful people really harping on the QAnon thing and using it to as an excuse to exert their power on people. That's what I'm concerned with. I don't care about what powerless people believe that may not be accurate. I care about what powerful people pretend to believe that they can actually use to violate innocent human beings' rights. That's what matters to me. And I'm seeing a lot of that.
Yeah, it's like the Charlottesville thing.
Yes. Yeah, exactly. It's like a bunch of powerless people believe some shitty things. And I'm supposed to spend all my time being outraged by that. But then powerful people use that to do really shitty things.
No, to say that it's the biggest risk of the entire country. And this is proof of the fact that really there's huge tides of racists. And that's why, whatever, that's why. That's why we need censorship. And that's why we can't have Trump. And that's why we got to make sure that we're not giving a voice to all these racists. It's a similar thing with the QAnon or QAnon or whatever the fuck they call
QAnon.
It.
I like that.
Let's go QAnon. Hey,
you QAnon guys are going a little bit too far.
Is that we can't have freedom on the internet because there's too many people that are becoming convinced that, you know, government's super into pedophilia.
Yeah. Yeah. No, I think that's how I feel about it, at least. Right. Like, I'm more concerned about who's actually exerting, you know, force over others based on these views.
Be and funny if the website's awesome. Like, we've just never gone to check it out, but it's like Ebound's World. Remember how fun that website was before YouTube?
Oh, shit. Yeah, I remember. That's right. Yeah, that was the big one. Oh, whatever happened to those guys? Are they still up?
I think YouTube.
Yeah, but I bet they're still up. Maybe not. Maybe I'm completely wrong about that. I've thought about Ebound's World. I haven't even heard that in fucking years. That's old internet right there. Remember back in the day, like in old internet times, even like early YouTube times, when you just wanted to YouTube something, like whatever it was, you know, you're like, how do I put this piece of furniture together? Or how do I do this? And you would YouTube it and they'd go, no results. And you just go,
I haven't had that in forever.
There's no video on that. Sorry, no one's put up a video on that. Those days are gone. There's a video for everything now. No matter what you're into, there's something. All right, guys, let's take a quick second. I want to thank our sponsor for today's show, which is Yo Kratom. YoKratom.com. That is the place to get yourself a $60 kilo. That's the world's best value in Kratom, shipped right to your door. No questions asked. Now, if you're not familiar with Kratom, just ignore this ad. If you've never heard of it, if you don't use Kratom, there's no need to hear this and go try it. But if you are currently a fan of Kratom, then celebrate your freedom at YoKratom.com, home of the $60 kilo, which is unheard of. YoKratom.com is one of the biggest sellers of Kratom nationwide, and they made YoKratom.com so you can buy directly at wholesale prices. This is quality Kratom. We've heard great feedback from the fans. They confirm it's solid. And like I said, it's the only place where you can find a kilo for $60. So last time, if you're currently a fan of Kratom, go to YoKratom.com and get yourself a $60 kilo. All right, let's get back into the show. So that's more or less like my feeling about a lot of these things. So like, if there's some guy out there, and this is something I've given, gotten shit for before, but like that, because I said when this was described as me, defending Holocaust deniers, but I've just said that, like, I don't really care. Like, if there's some 20-year-old on the internet who's like, the Holocaust never happened, you're like, oh, okay, whatever. Well, that's stupid. It did, but who cares? Why am I supposed to care about this? You know, like, it did happen. I know it happened. It's widely accepted that it happened. I'm not worried about the belief that it didn't happen taking over. Even if it did, it's like, so what does that do? What does this actually mean? And, you know, there are genocides going on right now that my tax dollars are contributing to. So why am I supposed to care more about some powerless person denying that a genocide in the early 40s happened compared to my tax dollars going toward ones that are happening right now, and the people in power don't give a shit, or they deny the ongoing genocide, or just fucking advocate for it, as is often the case. So it's like, where should my outrage go? You know, outrage is a finite resource. So mine's going to go toward the current genocides going on now. Now, of course, if fucking, you know, people who denied the Holocaust were like taking, you know, positions of serious power and advocating more Holocaust, then yeah, I'd get pretty serious about it pretty quickly. But seeing as how that's not happening, I just, it's not very high on my list of concerns. Just doesn't really, you know, doesn't come up in my mind very often about like a very crucial issue that I have to be focused on. So I don't really care if random people on the street or random people on the internet have some conspiracy that isn't true. But I do really care if very powerful people, like let's just say hypothetically, heads of the CIA and the FBI and the NSA and anchors in the corporate media and writers for the New York Times and people like that have some conspiracy that says, say, Saddam Hussein has weapons of mass destruction, or a conspiracy like Donald Trump is a Russian agent or something like that. See, that I care about a little bit more because it's far more consequential. Those conspiracies actually matter and they're just as untrue, but they also have the added benefit of like potentially getting people killed. And in some cases, getting people killed by the hundreds of thousands. And in some cases, as the case with the Russia hoax, flirting with destroying all of humanity, you know, flirting with a war with a nuclear armed power, which is, you know, pretty not good, not something you want to have. As I think most reasonable people can come together around the idea that nuclear war would be bad.
I object.
And I will hear out your objection. All right. The floor recognizes Rob Bernstein. He objects. He will make his pro-nuclear war argument for a few minutes.
We've had them long enough. You know, it's time.
Shit. All right, guys. He made a powerful argument. Anyone object to it? All right. Rob's motion passes. Let's have nuclear war. So that's, you know, like it's just funny to see all of these people freak out and, you know, all of these like New York Times, you know, writers and CNN hosts and MSNBC hosts who pushed the Russia shit for years, now all freaking out about QAnon. And none of them talk about the other side of the conspiracy. So the QAnon, I guess yesterday was supposed to be the day that Donald Trump was, you know, installed as the president or whatever. And so they've got this huge military buildup in Washington, D.C., which, by the way, never went away. Since June 6th, it's never gone away. They still have this wall erected around the Capitol building, still have this military presence in the capital of the United States of America. And everyone's, all these powerful people are talking about this QAnon conspiracy. These people online with no power or no anything. And they say it's like, oh, a militia is going to do this or that. But I'm like, okay, which militia? Where's the evidence? Show it to me. What are we talking about here? But what is going on is that our country is being militarized domestically in a way that it has never been in its history. And that in itself could be kind of a conspiracy that you could point to, like, wait, who's pushing this? Who's benefiting from this? What's the plan here? But that doesn't get discussed, you know, basically at all. Oof. And so that's where you're like, okay, so why the fuck am I supposed to care about some conspiracy from some guy on fucking Twitter who's not even on Twitter? I don't know. I don't even see him on Twitter. Like, everyone says they're there, but I don't see him. Please, by the way, if anyone's listening to this, there's enough people listening to this who are enough outside of the mainstream. If one of you are a QAnon person, please explain it to me, because I have not met a single one or interacted with a single one. I don't know what any of this is, but I don't really care.
Now we got to have a QAnon or on.
Or QAnon or on the Rama. Coming up on the next episode of Part of the Problem. Whatever, you know, whatever. I don't know what like the
Dallas
real
Jones
theory
like
is.
Tied in with them?
No, I think he lost his shit on them.
Oh, interesting.
I think he was like talking to one of them and he was like, you guys are fucking wrong.
You're wrong about everything.
That's not how demon pedophiles work.
Dude, Tim Dillon had one of the funniest tweets I've ever seen. I can't even remember exactly how he put it, but it was so funny. Where he was like, imagine Alex Jones screaming at you because you're being an irrational conspiracy theorist. Something like that. Like, even Alex Jones is like, dude, you got to get it together, man. I'm butchering it, but it was something like that. It was really funny. But I just don't like, I don't know. Those things don't concern me. It doesn't like it. I mean, I shouldn't say it doesn't concern me at all. It just doesn't rise to the level of being even on my radar. It's like, yeah, okay. I wish they were a little bit more accurate, or I wish they didn't, you know, have this view or that view. But I don't know. It's what I'm focused on is power and, you know, corruption and what actually affects other innocent people's lives and the country being destroyed. Like, that's what I'm focused on. And this is just like what powerless people believe. I remember, I think I've discussed it before on the show with you, but I remember one time, and I've never found this video. I don't know if it's out there on the internet somewhere, but it was back when I was a contributor on Essie Cup show on Unfiltered with Essie Cup. And I was on a panel with our favorite little piggy. I didn't used to call him that when we did panels together, but I got more.
Were you cordial with him before and after shows? Is he... Yeah, interesting.
Yeah. I'm cordial, but I argued. I argued very passionately, but I wasn't like a dick to him or anything, you know. Like, and you know, it's a weird thing. It's a different thing when you're in a room with another person. I mean, I'm sure we joked around a little bit, you know.
I guess I was more curious to know if he was a jerk off air, but
no, he was not. I could not tell one story of him being a jerk off air. I think he didn't.
Bring me my M&Ms.
No, none of that. I got the vibe he didn't care for me being there. But that's not anything he did or said. But we did a couple panels together. I was pretty aggressive. You know, I'm me. Like, so I was aggressive. And I think he did not like me being there. And I got a vibe for sure that he was not a fan of mine. But it wasn't like any, you know, it wasn't like anything shitty directly. And I was in many ways, you know, it was an interesting dynamic, but I was in many ways protected by Andy Levy, who was on the show at the time. And he was the co-host of the show at the time. And he really liked me. And me and him were like, we were boys, you know? I mean, like, not like close friends, but me and him really liked each other. He had my back, and he was a libertarian too, and he was against a lot of this shit too. And he wasn't me, he wasn't like a firebrand the way I am, but he dug what I brung to the, what I brought to the table. And I think Essie Cup in a lot of ways liked what I brought to the table, because I made her panels really interesting and fiery, and, you know, would get videos, you know, viral on the internet and stuff. So it was a weird thing, but I didn't belong there, you know, in so many ways. And so anyway, but so we were doing this one panel once, and the topic of conspiracy theories came up, and it was right after the Parkland shooting, that school shooting in Florida. And I think it was after that one. I'm like 99% sure that was the shooting, but whatever. It was after a mass shooting, and there were videos that were saying it was like a staged, crisis actor, you know, thing. Like, none of this actually happened. And there was a video about that I guess was like the number one watched video on YouTube, or it was trending on Twitter. This is back when things like that could trend on Twitter, when they weren't, you know, so, you know, controlling of what was allowed on there. And they talked about it. And at one point, Essie Cup asked me, she was like, why is it that you think, like, what is this? Because she almost, like, I was almost the guy there who would be somewhat connected to what was going on in the world outside of her world. So she kind of asked me, and I think she was really genuine about it, where she was like, why are these popular? Like, why do people believe this crazy shit? And why are they, you know, like, I would always be the guy who she was kind of asking, like, why do people hate CNN so much? Like, they really just don't get it. And I said, in the best way I could in the short period of time we had, but I said something like, you know, I was like, well, look, there are all these real conspiracies that CNN will never cover. And so when CNN will never cover them, then other people point them out. And then they're like, wow, you're right. And then they look to that guy. And that guy's a conspiracy theorist. And that guy will tell them all these other things. So if you guys wanted to help yourself, like, you know, cover the real conspiracies that are going on. And, you know, the truth is that this country was systematically lied into the war in Iraq. And I use a few other examples. I don't remember. This is years ago now. I don't remember exactly what I said. And the conversation continued like off air. So I don't remember exactly what was on air and what was off air. But, you know, I at one point I brought up, I'm fairly certain this was on air, that I was like, well, you know, Barack Obama signed into law the right to detain American citizens without charges and hold them indefinitely. And no one here has a problem with that. Like that wasn't like, oh my God, there's this conspiracy going on. You won't like report on that. So what, you know, like this is what opens the door when there's this much corruption and no one's reporting on it, this breeds conspiracy theories. And then at one point I said, I called the video silly. I go, look, now this may manifest in like silly YouTube videos claiming this was crisis actors, and Brian Stelter, our favorite little piggy, took issue with me for saying that. And he goes, no, it's not silly. He goes, it's not silly. It is damaging. It is dangerous. You know, something like that. And I was like, no, like how? How is it dangerous? What are the damages? I just had someone the other day arguing with me about this, like on Twitter or something like that, where someone was like, fucking, I don't know what it was. Oh, they were pointing out Hotep Jesus, the guy who I had on the show recently, who they were pointing to something that they said was anti-Semitic that he said years ago. And they were like, you have to admit, this is really damaging. And I was like, no, I don't have to. And how? How is it damaging? Who is it damaging? Show me the damages. And it's just like, well, you have to admit it's damaging. Like, no, I don't have to admit that. I don't have to admit that a YouTube video claiming some school shooting was not real is damaging. Because I don't know how it is. I mean, if you can demonstrate damages to me, I'll acknowledge it, but I don't know that it is. But I know that lying about Saddam Hussein's having weapons of mass destruction is damaging. I could show you that damage, you know? And so like that was basically the response that I had to Brian Stelter. I mean, I don't remember. It probably wasn't this good, but it was pretty good. I did a pretty good job. And then we talked about it more.
Shut up, you fat pig.
I thought it. I didn't say it out loud, but I thought it. But anyway, yeah. So that's how I feel. I don't care. I don't care what powerless people, what conspiracies they have. It just doesn't bother me. Doesn't do anything for me. The powerful, that's who you got to keep your eye on, you know? All right. We're going to wrap there. That's our show for today. Catch us at Porkfest. Catch me at Freedom Fest. Keep watching this goddamn show. We love you. Watch Rob's show. Run your mouth. Rob's podcast. It's excellent. And follow Robbie the Fire on Twitter @RobbieTheFire. All right. Peace.